Welcome to this AHDB podcast, which is one in a series produced to tell the story of the work farmers, growers, and AHDB people are doing under the umbrella of farm excellence. The pace of change in the agricultural sector seems only to increase as all farming businesses adapt to address the challenges and opportunities which arrive from disruptive innovations, such as new technologies or the uncertainty created by changes to markets, here at home or abroad. AHDB's Farm Excellence Initiative is a national network with a local focus. AHDB say there is no question that farmers learn best from each other and adopt changes, including best practice, if they see them in action on farm in their home region.
I'm John Bates, and to give you a fuller picture, I'm joined by Tim Isaac, the Knowledge Exchange Director responsible for the Farm Excellence Programme. Hi, Tim. Thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about the Farm Excellence Programme.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, John. So the Farm Excellence Platform is our, I guess, our primary vehicle for delivering information out to levy payers on the ground and also collecting feedback from them at the same time. Broadly, it comprises sort of four pillars of activity across all six sectors, strategic farms, monitor farms, discussion groups, and technical events. And it's the main focus for our knowledge exchange managers who run independent, locally relevant, and topical events throughout the UK.
So in practice, how does the Farm Excellence Platform work across the sectors?
Effectively as a platform, it provides a number of sort of local hubs for like-minded farmers and growers in that area to attend. They come along, they exchange information with each other and also with industry experts in a non-commercial environment, and I think that's really important. And then we've got sort of common aims across all of it about improving productivity, competitiveness and sustainability. The underlying principle of the strategic and monitor farms is that they provide a sort of a locally representative case study for others to follow in real time. And again, I think that's a key point to note. It makes the topics directly relevant and it allows them to quickly apply the learnings to their own farms and businesses as they see the sort of practical improvements that the hosts make on the farms that they're visiting. We've got a number of objectives under the four pillars, just so there's a differentiation between them. So the strategic farms, the main objective there is to deliver sector-specific improvements with a focus on technical performance, whereas the monitor farms, it's about delivering whole farm improvements with a focus on business performance. We've then got a number of discussion groups, and they allow for a sort of more detailed discussion in smaller groups, either on technical topics or on benchmarking using our farm bench tool, where those who attend put their figures into farm bench, then identify and discuss strengths and weaknesses in a sort of confidential setting. And that's where we can really help have a direct impact on an improvement on profitability. And then the fourth one is the technical events, which may be one-off local events or part of a roadshow or national conferences across the UK. And just finally on that, I guess the other sort of underlying principle is all of the activities farmer-led and farmer-driven, which means that the meeting topics and demonstrations are based on the demand from those that attend the events. So in the case of strategic and monitor farms, this is usually done by a steering group to ensure it's what levy payers want in that area. And then the job of the local knowledge exchange manager is to plan, manage and facilitate those events based on those selected topics. And typically each farm has a dedicated knowledge exchange manager, which will support it throughout the project. So sort of between 3 and 6 years, depending.
And Tim, how many businesses or how many farms are involved?
So we currently have 44 strategic farms and 24 monitor farms. But recruitment is an ongoing cycle, so there are always more opportunities for other farms to put themselves forward and join the programme. We've currently got a recruitment session going on now, and the plan is that by the end of 2020, we'll have a total of 100 host farms across the UK. which will give us a pretty comprehensive coverage both both geographically and across all the different sectors, which should make on-farm meetings sort of easily accessible to the majority of levy payers. In addition to the farms, we have about 200 discussion groups that sort of extend that coverage further and fill in the gaps, together with the technical events. And we also work in partnership with a number of other organisations to make sure that we're sort of reducing duplication and adding value wherever we can.
So just to help the people that are listening to this who may or may not be thinking that this is something for them, who typically attends? What does somebody coming along to one of these meetings look like?
So the primary audience for our Farm Excellence Platform events is our levy payers, which is mostly farmers and growers. The more open events we run also attract a significant number of the trade, consultants, agronomists and vets and people like that, while the closed benchmarking groups are specifically only for those farmers who have entered their data. Typically, the host farms will attract anywhere between sort of 20 and 100 plus, depending on the type of event, and there's between 3 and 6 meetings per year on each farm. The discussion groups are much smaller, so sort of between 5 and 15 people meeting sort of 2 or 3 times a year, and then obviously the conferences can be sort of 200 plus. And then the events typically take place through the year, but fitting in with the seasons of the relevant sectors. I think the other thing to sort of bear in mind is we operate it very much as a network. So those that come to the individual events benefit not just from the activity there, but also from elsewhere across the network. And to foster that, we offer sort of exchange visits where we'll take groups from one area to go to a host farm in another area and vice versa. And we've even taken groups into Northern Europe as well, just to get that sort of wider perspective and wider knowledge exchange going.
Okay, so clearly there are a lot of on-farm meetings taking place. There are events and discussion groups as you've discussed. So how do people find out about where these events are and when they're going on?
So all of the events are on our website, on the HDB website. So you can go on the website and search by area or type or what, depending on whatever sort of parameters you want to put in, but that will quickly take you to the sort of event you're looking for in your local area. You can also contact your local knowledge exchange manager, and again, their details are on the website. I think the other important thing is we also send out email and text alerts for upcoming meetings, but that's very dependent on having correct contact details. So if anyone is interested in these events and they're keen to come along, please let us know and make sure we've got up-to-date contact details for you.
Okay, and then presumably there's also those who they can't attend for one reason or another, their personal circumstances on the farm or whatever mean they can't spare the time. How do those people get looked after?
Yeah, it's a really good question, John. It's a really important group, actually. We're very much aware that it's not always convenient to physically attend an event. Everyone's busy and they've got sort of work and family commitments. So reports and case studies from all of the events are published online for each host farm on its own webpage. So you can go onto the website and look at any particular host farm and see the sort of activity that's been going on there. To add to that, we also ran about 93 webinars in the last 12 months, which offers people the opportunity to engage in the same types of meetings that we run on the ground, but obviously from the comfort of their home and at times that fit around a busy day. And there are podcasts like these that can be listened to at any time, anywhere, and lots of articles in the farming press.
So, Tim, obviously you've been involved with this for a little while now, and AHDB are putting a lot of resources, a lot of effort and time into getting this all off the ground sort of thing. What value are people getting from attending the meetings?
I think everyone you ask who comes would probably give you a slightly different answer, and in a way that's a good thing. So there will be people that get sort of financial benefits, technical benefits. Some people just come along for sort of personal development or professional development. All of the events have CPD points. But we, from a formal perspective, we do survey all of the people that come along to the events. We constantly want to make them better. But we also specifically want to identify the sort of benefits, as you're asking, that people get from attending. So to give you an idea, the most recent results tell us that people generally attend to improve their technical knowledge and keep up to date with, you know, latest research or market information. They very frequently cite the ability to share and discuss locally relevant information in a non-commercial environment being a sort of big attraction. And of course, that gives them the confidence to try new things in their own businesses. Specifically, in terms of stats, I guess the couple of headlines that I like to reflect on is that 98% of those that attended reported one or more positive business outcomes as a direct result of attending, and 92% said that changes made would have a positive impact on costs, productivity, or profitability. So, and quite a few of those were actually able to quantify that in pounds and pence. So, you know, we are clearly having a direct impact on the profitability and sort of resilience of these businesses, which is fantastic, because that's what it's all about.
It is fantastic, and if for no other reason, is a very compelling reason for farmers to and growers to show interest in this and perhaps come along. So you very clearly sort of set out how this has been formed and sort of where we are, and let's talk a little bit about where we're going next.
Yeah, sure. So as I sort of touched on earlier, I guess initially the first thing we're doing is we need to complete the current round of farm recruitment so we can get up to our target of 100 farms by the end of next year. So that's the initial step, and that's going on now. I think, so my sort of vision at that point is that probably that's an appropriate number to stop at. Obviously, there'll be farms that come and go as part of the cycle, but I think in terms of a number, 100 is a good strong number. It gives us the robust coverage and is also manageable in terms of us delivering quality meetings. So I think at that point we can probably sort of consolidate the program and then continue, you know, developing it and focusing on how to make it better and better. So we can continue building partnerships with others, so we can grow our reach that way. We can make better use of our network to sort of really make sure we're having an impact in all areas for all sectors. But probably the most sort of exciting area, I guess, is the increasing use of our digital platform, which means that, you know, we can get that information out much faster to a much wider audience. And I think, you know, the way technology is going, we could do some fantastic virtual farm excellence activity. So that's really the next big thing that we're going to be looking at. I think the bottom line is we recognise we've developed a really powerful initiative, and I'm very keen that we realise its full potential to sort of help levy payers as much as we can.
Tim, that sort of you know, the virtual events and so on, that all sounds really exciting, and look forward to hearing a bit more about that at some stage. Talk a little bit about, you know, the message that you would really like to land with those people that are listening to this who, you know, may remain a little bit unconvinced and perhaps a little bit cynical about whether this is a value to them.
Yeah, sure. So I think for those that haven't come along to any of our events so far, I think, you know, check on the website, see what's coming up near you, and just come along. I think you'll be surprised how many people you know. I think you'll be surprised how much you get out of it. But bottom line is you'll only know if you give it a try. And I'm pretty confident that if you do come along, you'll find them really useful meetings. I think sometimes people have sort of misconceptions about what an HDB event might look like, but, you know, that we deliver some pretty exciting, very relevant and very popular events now. So, you know, as I say, if you haven't been, just really encourage you to give it a try and come along and come and see us. I think, John, the point is at the moment there is so much change going on in the industry right now and probably for the foreseeable future that our Farm Excellence events, you know, are a great way of helping you to navigate your way through it. And I'm confident that those that come along will come out the other side with, you know, much greater resilience both in their business and personally, and just feel reassured that there's a framework and a sort of society there to help them through this sort of time of change.
Tim, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
The pace of change in the agricultural sector seems only to increase as all farming businesses adapt and address the challenges and opportunities which which arise from disruptive innovations. These could be new technologies or the uncertainty created by changes to markets here at home or abroad. But understanding the financial detail of any business is important. One economist I know suggests many don't farm to be profitable, but you have to be profitable to farm. And this is where the Farm Excellence Initiative comes to the fore. AHDB say there is no question that farmers learn best from each other and adopt changes, including best practice, if they see them in action on farm in their home region. I'm John Bates, and my guest, Derek Carlis, AHDB's Head of Farm Economics, is here to talk about FarmBench, which is just one of the online tools designed to help livestock farmers and growers become more competitive in this uncertain world. Hi, Derek. Thanks for joining me. Just briefly summarise FarmBench. When did it start and why?
FarmBench has been in existence for 2 or 3 years now, one guise or another. In a nutshell, it's a tool for arable farmers, that's combinable crops, potatoes and sugar beet growers, alongside dairy farmers and beef and lamb farmers to use. And they can enter their production data and cost data, income data into it, and it will do two things for them. It will calculate a unit cost of production for whatever it is they're producing, and it will allow them to compare that cost of production to the top 25% within each sector, the average, and the bottom 25%.
So, you know, let's be honest, farmers have got plenty to do. They don't need another piece of bureaucracy or some, whizzy fad. Is it worth the effort? Is it worth engaging with FarmBench?
Good question, and this is one we're faced with very often when we're talking to farmers and growers about FarmBench. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Very often farmers would far prefer to be outside working with the cattle or the sheep or sat on the tractor doing whatever they're doing. But in this volatile business world that we're in now in agriculture in the UK, with all the uncertainty around Brexit, is there any more important job than for a farmer to understand how their business is performing, where its strengths are, where its weaknesses are, and then have that as a backdrop to make important decisions going forward, decisions which would be based on evidence of performance of the business as it currently stands, and which they can then change going forwards if they identify weaknesses.
So this is really drilling into the detail of the economics and the viability of the business. And presumably there's an additional benefit that if you're, as a farmer or a grower, you're looking to invest in your business, this helps you with your business planning.
Very much so. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. The important thing is to understand how the business is performing at the moment. And for those specialist businesses, perhaps they're just a dairy business or perhaps they're just an arable business, it might be relatively straightforward. But for mixed farms in particular, and this is one of FarmBench's strengths, is that it allows those mixed farmers to look at the different elements of the business in isolation and to understand, is it the sheep enterprise that is contributing positively to the overall farm profit, or is it the arable enterprise, or is it the dairy enterprise? And to have that granularity and look at each element of the business in isolation gives you the tools you then need to make decisions and to forward plan. So if you understand that one part of your business is consistently contributing towards the profit and another part of the business is consistently losing you money, you can then make decisions about potentially doing more of the bit that's doing well and potentially doing less of the part of your business that isn't. Or alternatively, if you're happy with the overall performance, at least you've made that decision to continue on that basis based on knowledge, not just guesswork.
Okay, so I know you, Derek, and I know you're quite a practical chap and you're out and about a lot. Give me an example of some of the feedback that you're getting from the farmers and growers that you're talking to.
Yeah, that's a good question. One of the key things that we do with FarmBench is to bring farmers and growers together into groups, particularly through the winter season, to discuss figures. And as you mentioned in your introduction, there's no better way for a farmer to understand and to learn than to discuss different elements with other fellow farmers doing a similar thing. So recent meetings that I've been to, farmers are doing this across the sectors, and we've done a lot of work with arable growers in the last 12 months in particular. And one of the things that Farmbench is doing is it's allowing them to understand the performance of a winter wheat enterprise in isolation to, let's say, a winter barley enterprise. And some of the practical things that people have done off the back of that, where they've realised that actually a particular crop within a rotation isn't making them any money, they've made changes to the rotation and have actually introduced other crops instead, which are more profitable. And that's making a real difference to the overall rotation performance and in turn the overall farm performance.
We're taking account of regional differences as well. So, you know, we all fully understand that there are different soils and different climates, you know, around our island. So we're benefiting from farmers on a regional basis getting together and talking about the particular challenges they face.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the important things here is that there are two levels on which people can look at their business. You can get together with fellow farmers which might be within a 10-mile radius who may be doing similar things to you. They may be using the same animal breeds as you or the same crop varieties as you. They'll have the same climate loosely within a close region. So those are really robust comparisons and investigations that you can make into what others are doing. But at the same time, if you're not part of a group like that, you can use Farmbench sat in the farm office at home, put your data in, and you can anonymously compare to others that are doing similar things to you by choosing which comparisons you want to make. So if you want to compare just to other farmers within your region, so within Scotland, let's say, or within the southwest, you can do that. You can compare on the basis of soil type or rainfall or variety or breed and so on, which makes the comparisons really specific, and you then know that you're comparing to others doing similar things to you.
I suppose you know, we're all anxious and conscious about sort of, you know, revealing all and bearing our soul. Just tell me a little bit about confidentiality and so on, and how can I be assured that my data isn't being shared with other people, you know, and exposing, you know, perhaps things that I don't want to share with others outside the farm?
Yeah, really good question. This comes up quite frequently, as you might imagine. There are very strict protocols in place around Farmbench and in fact around a lot of the tools that AHDB uses to protect farmers' data. The key thing to know is that farmers are entirely in control of who has access to their data when it's identifiable. So within the system, your data, if you enter it in, is completely anonymized when it's aggregated with all other farmers' data. And in fact, those are the benchmarks that you're comparing to. So your data will be in those benchmarks. Nobody knows who's in there. If you choose, you can grant access to your identifiable data to advisors or consultants, vets or others that you might work with, and you might want them to support you within Farmbench. But otherwise, nobody has access to it. Nobody knows the data's yours. And we're very, very aware of our responsibilities in this front in terms of protecting farmers' data. So we never sell it to anybody in any way.
Okay, so that's reassuring, thank you. So have you got any real live examples where you can sort of share how farmers have benefited from Farmbench so far?
Yes, I can think of two. I can think of a livestock one and an arable one. So the first one is a farmer in East Anglia who did what I referred to earlier and looked at the performance of the rotation in detail. And they realised that within their rotation, their winter wheat crop was not profitable and hadn't been for several years. What they soon realised actually was that they had a good market locally for a different type of barley, spring barley in particular. And they switched to growing spring barley, which was a profitable crop with lower inputs and a better market outlet. And that in turn has boosted their overall rotation performance. And that was off the back of discussions at a group meeting with others. They'd never grown spring barley before and probably wouldn't have had the confidence to do it unless they'd had reassurance from others in the area that it was a sensible thing to try. On the livestock front, we've had examples, particularly in the north this year, where farmers have looked at the performance of grazing livestock enterprises and realise that their cost base is just far too high for the market returns that they're getting. And year on year, they are making a loss before the single farm payment is factored in. Now, conscious that over the next few years, the single farm payment, or basic payment, I probably ought to call it, is going to reduce over years to, I think the current plan is nothing by 2027, they realise they've got a good window now to do something about that before that cushion disappears. And what they've done is take steps to change their grazing regime in particular and move from a set stock system to paddock grazing for their sheep and for their cattle. And they've seen vastly improved rates of grass growth, able to carry more stock on the fields through the growing season. That's reduced costs and boosted output and made a significant difference to their bottom line. And again, that wouldn't have been possible if they hadn't discussed these options with others who have already made this change, and that's given them the confidence to give it a go. And now they're seeing, over a period of years, the improvement in their profitability.
And looking to the future, of course, is key, and it's something that I know AHDB talks a lot about. How does the future look for FarmBench?
The future, the next steps, good question. This is a very fortuitous day for us to be having this conversation because the latest version of the website has just gone live with dairy functionality in it, which is quite exciting for us. And the next steps are to really push the uptake of FarmBench in particularly the livestock sectors, which we're going to do. But we're also conscious that for livestock farmers in particular, it's more of an onerous task to look at a business than it is for arable farmers. There are far more data points to get to grips with. If you think about arable farmers, they've got a hectareage of a crop and a tonnage of a crop, and that's just about it for physical data. Whereas for livestock farmers, you've got all sorts of numbers of livestock. You've got births and deaths and purchases and sales and live weights, dead weights, feeding and all the rest of it. So it's a much more onerous task. So one of our next steps, I think, for FarmBench is to make the process slightly easier for first-time people who are coming to use the system, to make sure that they come into it and look at some key figures firstly, some KPIs, key performance indicators, in isolation, and look at those and see how they're performing just on that basis. So it might take them 10 or 15 minutes first off. And if that then proves beneficial, they can move into the full system and start to look at the business in a bit more depth. So that's the next thing that we're going to do. At the same time, there's a wider piece of work where we want to improve some of the reporting outputs from the system to make them more useful on farm. So at the moment, you look at different livestock enterprises and crop enterprises separately. So we'd like to eventually move to a position whereby you can report on the whole farm, particularly a mixed farm, in one go. We're not quite sure what that looks like yet, but that's certainly our ambition for the next 12 months or so.
Darren, your enthusiasm is really heartening, so thank you very much. Where should farmers go? Where do we get information?
Go straight to the AHDB website and you'll find it very prominently advertised there on the front page. There's a lot of detail on there in terms of what it is and what's involved. There's a couple of very handy videos that you can click on and have a look, which will introduce it quite nicely and explain what's required for you to get involved. But if you're sold on the idea, just click on the link. It'll take you through to the FarmBench website, register, and you're away. There's also links on there for you to contact us for further assistance. We've got regional teams available around the country that you can call on to help if you need it. And we've also got a support desk here at Stoneleigh, which will answer the phone or respond to emails.
That was my guest, Derek Carlos. Thank you very much for listening.
I'm Susanna Bolton. I'm Acting Research Director for AHDB, and I've been working with the Farm Excellence Network for the last 3 years. We're entering a period of unprecedented change and lots of challenges facing farm businesses, whether that be to do with changing markets or impending environmental legislation. And the Farm Excellence Network is a way of us working with farmers in the regions to tap into the communities that they already have established around them. Those farmers are immensely inspiring and are leaders in their own right. But what they also do is they build a network of other farmers to share ideas, to share experiences. And it's incredibly important when those farmers come together to enable the learnings and to help farmers to see what each other are doing, for them to compare experiences. And our benchmarking tool, FarmBench, enables that in an even more structured way. What I would encourage people to do, if they're interested in finding out more about either the Farm Excellence Network or FarmBench, is to go and visit our website. We've got some fantastic case studies from each of the individual farmers that we're working with. We've also got access to FarmBench. Once you've done that, you'll be able to see which are the local events happening in your region, and I would really encourage people to go along to one of those as well.
Remember, if there's a topic you would like to know more about or have an idea for a future podcast, please get in touch with AHDB. The podcast you've been listening to now was the first in a series of 7 covering farm excellence across all the AHDB levy payer sectors. For the podcast which deals with the sector or sectors you are specifically interested in, please click on the podcast area of the AHDB website. AHDB.org.uk. Here the playlist will appear for you to make your selection. In the next podcast in this series, we hear from Rory Lay of the Loppington Monitor Farm in Shropshire, and he shares his experiences of being part of a bigger network.
It was always very good to get off the farm, meet other like-minded people, and learn different ways of doing it, and talking's the best way around.
Thank you to my podcast producer, Aisha Shadman. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.